I got saved one day. I'm telling you, that changed everything in my world. Everything in my life. Didn't see it all, and I didn't understand it all right then. But I look back, and I see what God has done and the work that He wrought that day and the way it still develops and is real in my life today. Thank you, ladies. I love that song. You can be finding, again, Joshua chapter 10, and we'll read the scripture as we make the application this evening. But if you are with us this morning, then you have a very good and clear idea of what is going on. We're in our series on leaving nothing undone. In the book of Joshua is what we are studying, and we have gone, of course, from chapter 1, verse 1, and we've now made our way into chapter 10 and all the glorious truth that we find for the victorious Christian life that we should be striving to live as we strive to leave nothing undone for the Lord. One day, we're going to see here in a minute, these lives are going to be over. And we're going to leave a shell of something. And I tell you what, I want this world to see a life that matters. And I left nothing undone for him. Go ahead, Amy. That's all right. That's all right. It's all right, sister. Go ahead.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe she loves him. Amen. Thank you, Miss Amy. Don't mind anybody interrupting me as long as they're bragging on Jesus. Praise the Lord for it. Thank you, Amy. God bless you, Kathy. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. He's a good God. He's always been faithful, always been right there.
Amen.
Always has been. Praise the Lord. Well, you remember what's going on in Joshua chapter 10, and you remember that as God's people have made their way into the land, they have fought battle after battle after battle. And opening in the verses of chapter number 10 are telling us of another alliance that has come against the people of God. Israel had joined together due to deception, of course, with Gibeon. Gibeon was a great city, a great nation. And so now Israel, who was already feared by the rest of the Canaanite nations, was now even more feared than before. And so these other five kings, verses 1 through 5, are telling us that they came together to battle against Gibeon for the whole purpose of weakening Israel, drawing Israel into the battle. And we talked this morning and began the message this morning of what we had titled a bird's eye view of the battle. How that God in His Word will give us, if we just study it, He'll give us a bird's eye view of the battles that we are facing today. And you know, this morning we learned first of all that there was that somatic or that stressful aspect of the battle. And we talked about how somatic, it spoke of the body, the physical battles, and how that one of the battles that the Lord tells us in the very beginning here is that if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, leaving nothing undone in it, you're going to just surrender to the fact that it's going to be tough. It's going to be physically stressful upon you and those of us, and we're all guilty, aren't we, of complaining about this and that and being tired, being overwhelmed, being stressed out. Look, we've all been there. We've all done it. And those of us that are guilty of that, we just have to basically fight our way through it. Because if you're going to live a victorious Christian life and you're not going to leave anything on the table when your life is over, then it's going to be difficult. It's going to be tiring. It's going to be overwhelming, and it's going to be stressful. And we learned in that how that there was a sudden offensive and how Gibeon had found themselves under attack. And they learned from that sudden offensive that Israel and God's people, they were resting. They were at Gilgal. That was home base. That was back with their families. But now suddenly they found themselves right back into the battle that they were having to fight. And how so oftentimes you and I, we find ourselves, we're on a good stride. We've been through the fight. Kathy was just talking about a valley, a battle. You've been through the valleys. You've been through the fights. And you're glad to be on some stable ground again. But I tell you, one ring of the telephone, one appearance at work, or whatever it might be, you find yourself in another battle you just weren't ready for. And how God's people found them in that sudden offensive. But they had to do it. There was a sure obligation because they had made a peace accord and an agreement, a binding agreement that said, "We will come to your defense." And so we closed out our thoughts this morning about just challenging us as God's people to know that the battle is going to be stressful. And so from this day forward, the best thing we can do is just understand the fact it's not going to get any easier.
Amen.
The closer we get to the Lord returning, the greater the battle is going to be. The more hot the battle is going to be. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult, tiring, overwhelming, and stressful. Something I have committed to do after studying this is to make an effort not to tell everybody else how tired, how overwhelmed, and how stressed out I am in the battle. Because if you are living a victorious Christian life, leaving nothing undone, you're in the same boat that I am. There's no point in me depressing you over that. We're all in this together. We're just going to have to fight our way through it. Now think about this. Had God's people, Israel, in our text and in our story, not fought through the physical stress to get the work of God done, there would be no Israel as we know it today. Wouldn't be there. What's the next generation going to look back and see of our lives? Are they going to look back at our lives and are they going to see a group of people at Linwood Baptist Church who just determined in their heart that they were going to fight through the stress, the fatigue, they were going to fight through all the overwhelming aspects of the battle to lay the foundation for them that one day they can enjoy what you and I enjoy today because a previous generation stayed in the battle. If you're going to fight, it's going to be stressful. There is the stressful aspect of the battle. Move on. Second thought I want you to get in your heart tonight, and let's pick it up right here. Not only is there the somatic or the stressful aspect of the battle, but there is the spiritual aspect of the battle. Every one of us here knows exactly what I am referring to. You see, the physical stress and the bodily beating that we so often take to serve God and to try to be faithful to Him and to strive to live a victorious life and leave nothing undone in it, folks, that's only part part of it, isn't it? There is a spiritual undertow, underworld aspect of this thing, a spiritual aspect that is fought on the battlefields of our mind. And so much of that is built and rooted in spiritual warfare. And every one of us knows what I am referring to here. The devil just attacks you. It's not just the physical stress that we have, the stressful somatic aspect of the battle, but there is the spiritual aspect of the battle. Now, I want you to follow me closely as we make our application, but as we consider our story here with Israel, and as we look at the way that it was all unfolding, we will learn in this spiritual warfare that they were dealing with, that they found themselves having a crushing fatigue of their minds. It wasn't just their bodies. We just dealt with that. But I tell you what, when your body is beat down and stressed out and your mind is experiencing the same thing, this is where you will quickly go into a state of depression. This is where you will quickly run off the tracks of spirituality when both your body and your mind are overwhelmed with everything that is going on. And God's people here, they were learning that there is just this crushing fatigue of the mind they were experiencing. For weeks on end, you see, all Israel, God's people, had known of the blessed promised land of God, that land that all they had ever heard about was the flowing milk and honey, the land of peace that they were going to have, the beauty of it, the riches of it, and all these things. All they had experienced in the time they had been there was the blood and guts that it was taking for them to be able to conquer that land. Now, don't ever forget, everything in the book of Joshua that we have been studying from chapter 1 to where we are currently at now, it is dealing with the victorious Christian life. It is a type of our lives today. The book of Joshua is an Old Testament book that teaches New Testament victory. And so it's a picture of that. And so therefore, as we study the book of Joshua, then we can know that in this, we can see the bird's eye view that God is giving us of every aspect of the Bible. You can rely upon this. He's telling us there's going to be the somatic, the stressful aspect, going to affect your body. It's going to be tough on you, tiring, overwhelming, going to be stressful. But the spiritual aspect of it as well. If you're going to fight this battle, God is saying that there's going to be spiritual warfare that's going to come with it. The spiritual warfare is going to bring a crushing fatigue to your mind and the spiritual lives that you are going to strive to live. Now, these guys that we are talking about here, God's people, particularly His warriors, they were mentally exhausted from already having to fight the battles that they were fighting and trying to leave nothing undone in it. If we were to flip our Bibles over to 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, and if we looked at verses 4 and 5, we would read about the imaginations and the mind and the thought that is over there, the things that goes into the mind. It's referring there to the spiritual battle that takes place on the battlefield of our minds. Now, every one of us knows that this is real, don't we? Now, think about this with me for just a moment in relation to God's people Israel here. You and I fight spiritual warfare when we just simply try to read our Bible. There's spiritual warfare there. When you and I try to spend time with the Lord in prayer, there is spiritual warfare there. When you and I try to give an offering, take a step of faith to honor God and be faithful in our tithe or our faith promise or whatever else that it may be, you need to know that there is spiritual warfare that is there. When you're trying to give your tithe and your washer and dryer goes out, don't you think that's not spiritual warfare? There is a test that is underway and there's going to be a battle that is unfolding in your mind and in your spiritual life. Do I trust God and give the tithe or do I fix this appliance problem? That's spiritual warfare. There's spiritual warfare with coming to church. We were talking about it earlier back here as this storm was blowing in. For a pastor, the number one thing he looks at is the weather on Wednesday nights and on Sundays. I promise you, most of the time, I hadn't been here this week, I understand we've had a lot of rain, but most of the time, there will not be a threat of rain until 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. 6 o'clock on Sunday night. How many times have we been driving south on 27 on our way to church and there is a cloud, a big ball of gray cloud sitting over the city of Lafayette on our way to church? There is a test that is there. There is a battle. How many of you have gone out to your car to come to church and you've had a flat tire? You've been out of gas. Your car just wouldn't start. This or that happens. You fall in a hole on your way to it. I'm telling you, there are efforts that the underworld is trying to do to interrupt your spiritual life. That is spiritual warfare. The people of God have got to be resolved, and God in His goodness here is giving us a bird's eye view of it, isn't He? He is saying you're going to fight a physical battle, but there's going to be a spiritual battle that is there as well. You've got to get victory over it. Part of getting victory over it is knowing that it's there, knowing that it is coming, identifying the problem. You see it even before it comes, and you just know the devil's going to try to keep you out of your Bible, out of prayer, out of church, out of giving to Him. You know that the devil's going to do everything he can to do that. Now, these are the spiritual warfare aspects that we deal with. But I want you to think about Israel right here for just a second. Do you realize that everything that Israel was building toward was hinging upon this battle? Every promise of God, every provision of God, the very place of God, the very future of God's people, everything was hinging on this very battle. That's why that you find two chapters written about this as it is unfolding. It's because this was a big battle. If you and I fight spiritual warfare in just coming to church, just reading our Bible and praying or whatever area that it might be, if you and I fight spiritual warfare, just imagine the darts of hell that was being hurled at God's people here as they were trying to pursue the very literal promise of God. The satanic and the demonic attacks that were coming upon them were unparalleled to anything they had ever seen, and we can even begin to imagine. Now, say what you want to about the failures of God's people, and we have. They had their failures. They were guilty of a lot of failures. But I tell you what, for them to overcome the unleashing of literal hell upon them and to be able to come out on the other side of this, it meant there were some men and some women here that meant business with God. They were serious about getting the promise of God and experiencing every aspect of it. Ladies and gentlemen, the spiritual aspect of the battle for every one of us, it is very real. It is alive in this room right now. There are those of us that are fighting the battles of hell right now. As I speak to you, they're not just a physical, somatic, a stressful aspect of it, but it is spiritual, the spiritual aspect. This is why you plead the blood of Christ. You're faithful to Him. The only one who's going to bring you through this is Him. Amen. Have you ever battled just to get to church? Yeah. You ever fought that? And you know that the devil is right there in your face. He's right there in your life. And I tell you, when you walk into these doors, there's something glorious that just happens. And then when you leave, you're a different person. You know that you overcame the forces of hell. And God showed up in your life. And He gave you relief from the battle. But I tell you, the process of it brings crushing fatigue to our minds, doesn't it? And if you don't get victory over this, you need to know that it could destroy you. Amen. Spiritual warfare is real. Amen. I won't call his name, of course, because of online ministry. But when I was a teenager in Germany, there was a man that was a missionary, surrendered his life to missions. He had God on his life. What a mighty preacher. Went over to Germany. And he went over to Germany with intentions of really doing a big work for the Lord. And he got into it, and boy, he ran into some trouble. I mean, the devil fought him back. And folks, the devil fought him not just with the German people, but the devil fought him with his family. And it was a bad situation. And this dear man went into a state of depression. His wife had to put him on an airplane in Frankfurt, Germany, and send him home. And he spent the next 3 months in a psychiatric hospital because of the spiritual warfare that the devil was pouring on his life. After 3 months in the medical hospital or the psychiatric hospital, he was released and they said that he is recovered. And a few months later, he went back to the mission field and tried to start another ministry in a neighboring country. And the battles hit him again. He got overwhelmed with it. He left the mission field, went back to the States, and began to pastor a church in your home state. And once again, the battles hit him. The devil would not leave him alone. He never was able to get victory over the first attack that came to him many years earlier in Germany. And the devil just would not leave him alone until one day the pressure got too great. And he went into the back room of his house and took a pistol and blew his brains out. Spiritual warfare. I could tell you story after story after story having to do with that. And that is an extreme story, but I could tell you stories that you and I can relate with a little bit more. I remember it so clearly because it was the day of Emily Asher's wedding shower, November the 5th, 2022. It was a Saturday, and it was Great Commission Day. And we had great plans of that day, going out and serving God in Great Commission. And in a day of celebration of all of the events and the shower and all the things that were unfolding with it. But I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, as soon as I got out on visitation, it just seemed like in a matter of minutes, be it personal, myself, be it family, be it friends, be it church members or whatever it was, all of us combined were making some bad spiritual decisions. It all kind of just unwound right there at the same time. And I had spent literally at the point that it, when it was all over, I had spent into the hours on the telephone about matters and talking to people about this and about that. And I tell you, when I hung up the phone for what I thought was the final call, I was mentally shot. Walked into the fellowship hall, only to learn that I had to begin digging through trash to find something very important and something very expensive that one of my children had lost. So here I am now digging through the trash. Thank God they found it. But I then loaded up my family, turned my cell phone off, and I never do that, and I left. I'm not telling you that story just simply because it's that woe is me thing. Oh, that was so bad. No. I'm just telling you a story that you can relate to because you have been there. Mentally, spiritually exhausted. The devil was just pouring it on. Unhinged things, unhinged circumstances, and the devil was just pouring it on. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. The devil just wears you out. And from a bird's eye view of the battle, the Lord is telling us you can count on the fact there's going to be the somatic, the stressful physical aspect of the battle. But you rest assured there will be a spiritual aspect. And it's going to come with a crushing fatigue. And that's where Israel was here. They learned that this was a crushing fatigue, but the only thing that kept them going was a complete faith in the promise that God had made that they were going to win the battle. They realized the fact that God had said we're going to win. He'd already given that promise, and so they relied heavily upon that. One of the greatest aspects of the physical and the spiritual battles is getting our fears out of the way. It's getting our flesh out of the way and activating our faith in what God has already assured us is going to happen. Do you know that God in His Word has already assured us that we're going to win the battle? He's already promised us that. But yet we fall and we cave under the pressure, be it physically, be it spiritually, the stress of it all, the spiritual aspect of it, like we're losers. God has already said you will win the battle. Joshua was holding on to this, and it's declared to us in the 8th verse. Look at it in your Bible with me. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, I love these words, fear them not. I want you to say that with me. And the Lord said, put your name. And the Lord said to John Alverson, fear them not. Say it with me. And the Lord said to John Alverson, fear them not. Put your name there. And the Lord said to John Alverson, fear them not. I can't hear you. And the Lord said to John Alverson, fear them not. And the Lord said to John Alverson, fear them not. Imagine what that would have done to old Joshua here. God was saying, stop fearing them. There was fatigue, and we'll deal with fear, and we'll deal with that in greater depth here in the next couple of weeks. But there was fear that Joshua had. He says, fear them not. Why? For I have delivered them into thine hands. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Man, there's so much in the Bible. I can't get to it all. But notice the word stand before thee. You know what that's telling us? Joshua was not running the other way. Joshua was standing before the enemy. Joshua said, bring it on. Not in the power of Joshua, but in the power of Jehovah God. I am here and I am going to face and I am going to fight this battle. It'll be a good day in our victorious spiritual lives, a necessary day, when we stand before the enemy and say, bring it on. Not in the power of John Alverson or Chad Eaton or Blake Hughes or Tony Trammell, but I come to you in the power of Jehovah God, the only one that has already promised to give me the victory. We have got to wrap our hearts around this matter of faith. With every step that they took, they had a very real faith in the fact that God had already promised that He was going to give them victory. He was going to give them a win over the battle. The reason that so many of us are falling out of the battle, the reason so many of us are losing the battle and running away from the battle, is because we don't have a true, real faith that we cannot lose the battle. We cannot lose the battle. If you're going to live a victorious Christian life and leave nothing undone, the Lord never said you would not have a battle. You will have a battle. But I tell you, the blessed truth that we can hold on to is when the dust all settles, we will be victorious in all of these battles. We don't want the battle, do we? As a matter of fact, we try to avoid the battle. We don't want the battle because it is so physically stressful, because it is so spiritually distressing to us. It is so spiritually discouraging to us. We try to run from it. We try to avoid it at all costs. But listen to me, church. It is the bullets flying from the battle. It is the bombs falling from the battle that brings sanctification in our lives. It brings a total reliance on the God of the battle. It makes you and I better men and women of God to be able to fight the next battle. When the bullets are whizzing by you and the bombs are dropping all around you, you ought to count that as a joy that you are being strengthened for the next battle and have courage and confidence that God's going to bring you through it. It is faith that we must have in the battle, that God has got it all under control. You do what's right. You live a victorious Christian life. It's going to wear you out physically. It's going to be spiritually stressful on you. But God has said, you just hold on to it. And then He tells us why, and He shows us why in the Scripture. For there isn't only this somatic aspect of the battle, the somatic, the stressful, physical aspect of the battle. There is the spiritual aspect of the battle. But the reason that you can hold on, He gives us the bird's eye view that really matters right here with the supernatural aspect of the battle. I love what the Lord does here. If you anything like me, you need supernatural strength to be able to win the battles of life. We'll cave and we'll fall apart under the pressure of it all, and we're guilty of that. But the Lord says, and He gives us the bird eye view of it right here, He says, look, you don't have to, because I'm God. And I'm right here, and I will fight your battles with you and for you. For those who are struggling, and you're really striving to, even through the struggles, to live a victorious Christian life and leave nothing undone in it, by the help of the Lord, you can gain victory over the battle, because there's a supernatural hand right now that is waiting to help you fight the battles of your life. Now remember, Joshua and his men, they are in Gilgal. I can't wait to get deeper into that with you next time. But they are in Gilgal. They are at home camp. The Gibeonites send word to them that the five kings have come against them. They are making war with them. They had an obligation to go. So Joshua gets his men up. They start a hard 40-mile march through the night to be able to get to the city of Gibeon. They came around to the rear of the city, as we'll learn more about later. They came around to the rear of the city to engage the enemy. And as they did, the sun was just then coming up on the city of Gibeon. And they began to engage the five evil kings, the enemies of God that were coming against them. So it was with this that we see the supernatural aspects of the battle where God took over. I tell you, if you've ever been in a situation of that somatic, that stressful physical aspect of the battle and the spiritual aspect, you know what I'm talking about when all of a sudden God steps in. All of a sudden, God takes over the battle, because it is in this that we see, first of all, what I'm going to call in our story right here, a sun shaded. We're seeing a sun shaded. Look in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the Lord disconfided them before Israel." Israel standing there, and all of a sudden, God starts fighting the battle for them. You see, it says before them. Israel is watching the very hand of God fight their battle for them. The Bible says, "And slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them." Do you see what's happening? Not only are they winning, but now the other team, the enemy, is running. They are retreating. So what's God's people say? Well, let's just go after them. And the Bible says right here that they chased them along the way that goeth down unto Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And here they are wearing them out. Now, at this point in the battle, things were going so well. But however, the battle was still yet hot. And as the battle continued to get hot, so did the day. Because the sun was now rising in the battle. As we'll see in a moment, the month was actually July. They were in the Middle Eastern desert. So you can rest assured that it was hot. As a matter of fact, as you study this, McGee will let us know that it is estimated that in the shade, Brother Darrell, in the shade, it was 105 degrees on this July day. And out in the sun, it was estimated to be 115 and even possibly up to 120 degrees as this battle was raging. Now, you've got to remember, these guys had already had a 40-mile hard march through the night. They were operating under no sleep at all. They had had very limited provision for them. They hadn't had a Shoney's breakfast bar at this point, okay? I used to say Cracker Barrel, but I'm not even giving an endorsement to that anymore. They didn't have a Shoney's breakfast bar. They hadn't gone to Waffle House or anything of the sort. I mean, they were tired, they were hungry, and the last thing they needed was a 115 to 120 degree day that they were going to have to deal with. Now, we've all been out in that scorching heat, haven't we? And we know what the sun will do. The sun will dehydrate you in a hurry. It totally drains your energy. It totally causes exhaustion in your body. And that's what the people of God, they were dealing with. Joshua and his armies, they could not back up. They could not go the other direction. They were committed to this. They had an obligation to it. But the one thing they did not need was sun at this time. And so if you look further in the Bible, you notice how verse number 11 declares to our hearts that as the battle was raging, as the sun continued to get hot and bear down on them and steal all of the strength that they had and the energy that they had, they were huffing and puffing. They were trying just to hold up. They knew that they needed help. It was going to have to be supernatural help. And verse 11 tells us that the Lord sent a hailstorm. And the Bible says that more men died of these five kings of the hailstones that were falling than what Israel themselves even had to slay.
So when we look at this and we study this, we can see the supernatural intervention of God, because God dealt with the army without them even having to pull their sword. He killed more of them by hailstorms than they did actually hand-to-hand combat. But there's another aspect of it. Not only did God deal with their army before Israel even had to touch him, but the gray, dark skies from the storm gave them a shelter from the storm that came across. Ladies and gentlemen, there have been times when I have been scorched by the battles of life. I've been in a circumstance where the heat of the battle was all upon me, be it the physical aspect or be it the spiritual aspect, and I mean the battle was all over me. I needed supernatural intervention from the Lord, and every time that I've needed that, it's been amazing to watch God step into it, and be it through His Word or be it through a meeting like this, He gives me a little bit of shelter. He shades me from the enemy, and that's what the Lord will do for you too. Sir, this is for you. Man, this is for you. If you're battling the physical tonight, if you're battling the spiritual tonight, you just look up. Live a victorious Christian life. Leave nothing undone. He will give you the shade that you need to be able to carry you on to the next stage of the battle. And so we are seeing the supernatural aspect of the battle. It came right here in a sun shaded. But we also notice that it came in a sun standing still. Just about the exact opposite of what we're talking about in the first thought. A sun shaded, but a sun standing still. Now, because of the Lord's hailstorm and because of Israel's tenacity to fight, these folks were in the battle. And I mean, they were going to fight the battle. The battle, however, continued to go well. And as the battle went well, the Bible says that they ran the other direction, these five kings and their armies. They began to retreat and retreat and retreat, and they retreated down to a narrow pass. And it was in this moment that old General Joshua, he knew that this was a pivotal moment in the battle. This was a turning point in the battle, and this was a place that he knew that he could get victory. But there was a problem. There was still a whole lot of fighting left to be done, and Joshua needed time to be able to get the battle done. And to be able to get the battle done and needing time, it meant that he needed daylight to be able to finish up this battle, to mop up the mess that he was going to have to mop up. So when we come to verses 12 and going through verse number 14, this is where Joshua, he looked toward the heavens and he prophetically and prayerfully declared to the Lord, "Sun, stand thou still, and moon, stay over Gibeon and Ashkelon." It was in this moment that Joshua, in total faith, made a declaration to the Lord. He said, "Dear God, I need more time. I need more daylight. Lord, would you please let the sun stand still?" And then we look in verse number 13 and we see what happened. And the sun stood still. Is your life that you're living so victorious for the Lord right now that if you made such a declaration of impossibility that you would see God show up immediately the way that Joshua and his forces did here? The sun stood still. The moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens. Now, I love this statement right here. And hastened not to go down about a whole day. A day! The Lord suspended the sun in the sky. It is remarkable what God will do for His people. Are you listening? It is remarkable what God will do for His people who are doing for Him. Be it in the sun being shaded, or be it in the sun standing still and shining. Two polar opposites that God did back to back for separate moments in the battle for His people that were total miracles of God. It doesn't matter what God has to do. God gives us examples that He will do whatever it takes to bring victory into the Christian life. This is perhaps, as I mentioned this morning, one of the most preached chapters because of the story of the sun standing still in all of the book of Joshua. But did you know that it is also one of the most attempted, discredited passages of Scripture in all of the Bible? Critics of the story say this is absolutely impossible. The sun cannot stand still. This is an embellished addition to what is called the Bible. It's nothing more than just a dream. It didn't really happen. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I today can know that it did happen. And there's evidence all through history that has proven it. Did you know that there is astronomical evidence that proves that this happened in the Word of God? I can't take the time to get into all of this, but boy, how I encourage you to go study it. But if you look back in verse number 13, you'll notice the word midst. The word midst that is given to us, it is the Hebrew word chastai. And the word is actually pointing toward high noon. Which if you know anything about it, you know that there is only one in every lunar cycle. As a result, therefore, friends, astronomers can roll back the days by the stars. Historians can roll back the days by the calendar and by the map. From the beginning of recorded history that they had to what was their present day. And if you merge that together with modern records today, modern records that we have, be it of the Aztecs, be it by the Chinese, be it by the Peruvians, and you merge it together with Persians' records, the Chaldeans' records, you will find that this day is recorded on July 22nd. All of the ancient records puts it on July 22nd, a Tuesday. But when you connect them with the modern records of those that I just described, it shows July 22nd, but on a Wednesday. Counting from our day back, it's a Wednesday. Counting back to their present day forward, it was a Tuesday. The date is the same. The day is difference. You need to understand that it is recorded in history and it is recorded in the heavens by the stars that this did happen. Matter of fact, if you want to really break it down and get technical, you will learn that it was 23 hours and 20 minutes on Joshua's day here in Joshua chapter 10. And those critics of the Word of God will try to take that to once again disprove the Word of God and say it's not right. The Bible says a whole day. There is a discrepancy there. But if you continued to read on until you got to Isaiah chapter 37, you would find that God turned back the clock 40 more minutes in the days of Hezekiah. 24 hours. A full day is unaccounted for, or a full day is missing. You need to understand this truly did happen. And it once again just gives us the assurance of the reliability and the infallibility of the Word of God. You can trust this old book. Whatever the Bible says, you can rest assured that the Bible is right. That's why I pay attention to the Bible. And what the Bible tells me to do, I try my best to follow through and to do it. See, the supernatural hand of God, the supernatural aspect of the battle, it was shown in a sun that was shaded. And then it was shown again in a sun standing still. But for just a minute, I want to talk to you about a sun setting. There's a sun setting that we see in this story as well. You know, I think sometimes, As we talked about this morning, the somatic or the stressful aspect of the battle, the physical battles that we have, and how sometimes, folks, you just got to fight your way through it. And then we talk about the spiritual aspects of the battle, the supernatural aspects of the battle. You merge all of those together, and I think sometimes we think that all of these truths are for somebody else in their life. You encourage people, as we did this morning, to fight the battle. You're going to be tired. Don't back away from serving God because you're tired, you're overwhelmed, you're stressed out. You don't do that. Oh, that's for somebody. No, you need to understand, this is for all of us. We're all dealing with this today. The stressful aspects, the spiritual aspects, but the supernatural aspect of it is there. God will give us exactly what is needed to fight the battle if we'll just do it. Victoriously, just do it. But the motivation that I see here is so great because God supernaturally will shade the sun. Supernaturally, He'll let the sun stand still, do whatever miracle He needs to do to get you through the battle. But you need to understand, you need to fight the battle and you need to stay in the battle today because the sun is setting, church. The sun is setting. I want you to look in verse number 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it. You want to know what the Lord is actually saying here? God is saying, I will never stop time again. There will never be another day where the sun will not set. He will never stop the sun and prolong time ever, ever again. Dear friend that is sitting in this building tonight, look at me and listen to me closely, please. That sun that is in your eyes right now is one day going to set. One day the sun is going to go down upon your life, and it will be over. There is no such thing as God staying time again. No such thing of Him stopping the sun again. No such thing of His suspending that again. The clock is ticking. The sun is setting. The Lord Jesus assured us of it in John chapter 9 and verse number 4. Christ Himself said, I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is day. For night cometh when no man can work. So many of us today, we are just wasting our lives. We are watching the sun go down. We are playing spiritual games. We're just skipping through this life, oh, while the sun is setting and we can see it going right before us, but yet there is no urgency, it seems, anymore. The sun is setting. If there is some service that you need to do, you need to do it. Is there some offering that you need to give? Is there some prayer that you need to pray? Is there some wrong that you need to right? Is there some attitude that you need to correct? Is there some bitterness that you need to resolve in your heart? Is there some sin that you need to confess? Is there some lost soul that you need to go out and reach? Is there a Savior that you need to accept? There are millions, yea, even billions of people in heaven and hell alike right now that would give a million worlds for the opportunity that you have sitting in this building as I speak to you. They would give anything to get in the battle to serve God. They would give anything to have one more life, to be able to give to Him, because they now understand that the sun set on their life. And some of us, so oftentimes, we just don't get that. We don't think the sun will ever set on our lives. But I'm telling you, the sun is setting.
And kind ma'am and kind sir, what you're going to do for God, you had better do it right now. The bird's eye view of the battle. The Lord is telling us here, you can rest assured there's going to be the somatic aspect. It's going to be stressful physically. You're going to fight spiritual battles. By the way, friends, the more stressful it is on you physically, you know you're striving to live a victorious Christian life. The more spiritual battles you're fighting, you know you're striving to live a victorious Christian life. But when you get overwhelmed by it all, you rest assured there's a supernatural aspect of the battle. He'll shade the sun. He'll make the sun stand still. But you just have to keep fighting on because the sun is setting. And your job and mine today is to not just get in the battle, but to stay in the battle. Brother Timothy, you can come to the piano. Every one of us here today knows the difficulty, and we've experienced that somatic aspect of the battle. It's hard, physically stressful. You know what it's like, the spiritual aspect of the battle, as you are fighting spiritual warfare. But that's not where you quit, because there is a supernatural hand of God that will not let you fall, will not let you lose, if you just stay in the battle. What will the next generation give our grade of? Will they look back at us as we can look back at Joshua's army in this day and say that they fought through the stress, they fought through the spiritual aspect, and they overcame? Will they be able to say that about us? I want to leave nothing undone. Let's rise to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed in the very presence of God. And let's ask the Lord to help us. The bird's eye view.